Worship and through the preaching of the word this morning, and excited to be able to open the word of God with you this afternoon.
Amen.
After a good meal. And we're looking at this thought of doing things in order, and I know Pastor Hain likes that, so I'm not always the most orderly person myself, but the word of God teaches us to do things in order. And we need to learn how to do things in order, and that means walking with God.
Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Brother Maury just requested that song, Lead Me. We need his leadership to be able to do things in order.
Amen.
And really, this thought has been inspired by what I see as a need for worship in the church. We don't see worship the way that it needs to be. In most churches, I think there's a good spirit of worship here, a good fellowship of worship in the church here, but worship must be done in order. And if I can quote my wife, the one Sunday we came to church and we got here and she said, I'm going to get the crock pot. And I thought, oh, I forgot the crock pot. She said, you had one job. And
get all the kids ready. All the
yeah.
Kids in the
what? Just get that crock pot. And we get so distracted. Pastor Hain emphasized this morning. We have to purposely not focus on the prosperity of the wicked. We have to purposely not focus on those that are doing things wrong and they seem like they're getting away with it. Our purpose in this life is to please the Lord, to honor Him. I appreciate the message that Neil Ford preached a few weeks ago, and it's resonated with me for quite a while now, and I think about it, that we think we're doing right, but in the eyes of God, we're doing wrong. And as he said, it stinks. It stinks. It stank, right? And I thought, you know, what do I smell like to God?
Mm.
Like we get our church clothes on and come to church and, you know, talk nice to the church family here. But how's my worship before Him? My one purpose is to honor Him. The scripture says in Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord. It says this, for thy pleasure, all things are and were created. For thy pleasure. That's the one reason that we're here, is to please Him, to honor Him. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it tells us, let all things be done decently and in order. Interesting, the only way we're going to find how to do things right to please the Lord is by studying the scriptures. We can't follow our heart. We need to know what the scripture says and follow the counsels of God to do things in order. And so first we're going to be here in this passage in Genesis 22. I'm just going to read a few verses here. I know that they're familiar, but we're going to read here and get started. I'm going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer first, and then I'll get into this passage. Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to know you and to speak with you, Lord. We thank you that you gave us a purpose and a place, Lord, and that we have a proper order to be in your work. Thank you that you have a place for us, that you've gone to prepare a place for us. But, Lord, that you've given us a place in your work here and now. Father, we pray, Lord, that you help us to seek your heart, to do things in order, to honor you, Lord, we just spend a few minutes together here this afternoon looking into your word and studying this thought on worship and keeping our focus on you and for you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Abraham took his son up onto Mount Moriah. The Lord had told him to do that. He knew certainly that it was the voice of God. He was absolutely convinced that it was the voice of God. He had no doubts about that. When God told him to take his son up and offer him on one of those mountains, Abraham knew it was the voice of God, and he followed in obedience. It says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand. Excuse me, I'm starting in the wrong verse, actually. We're going to be starting in verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 10. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So up to this point, we see that Abraham did what God had told him to do. He did all the things that God had told him to do. We see two very important things in this passage. One, the first time the word worship is used is when Abraham is speaking to his servants and he says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He said, we're going to go and worship and we're going to come back. Abraham believed that God would raise his son back to life to come back with him. It says this in the book of Hebrews. It tells us that he believed that God was going to raise his son back. They were to come back, but he was going to do exactly what God told him to do. When God called him to go, he first said, Go and offer thy son upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So God first just gave him a direction, told him that he was going to offer his son, and told him that he was going to show him a mountain when he gets there. But Abraham needed to take the steps that God had given him to take to do those things first before he could see God provide and before he could see this great work and thing that God was going to teach him. So he went to worship. The next thing that we see is also a first time in the scripture where it's mentioned is in verse 9. It says the first time we see in the scriptures, order. Order. He said, we're going to go and worship. When they got there to the place, to Mount Moriah, when they got there and he was going to worship, he did it in order. He laid the wood in order. He did all the things in order that God had told him to do. We need to learn the order that God has for us. And he said to his son, he said this, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. They went there. He laid everything in order. He did everything that he was supposed to do, but he knew that he could not provide a sacrifice for God, but God would have to provide himself the sacrifice because Isaac was given to him as a promise from God, and he knew that God was going to keep Isaac and do a great work with Isaac because God had promised that he would. He looked to God. He came there without a sacrifice. He came, but he didn't come empty-handed. This is what I mean. He did what he could, and God did what he could not do.
Yeah, that's good.
If we come expecting to worship God, expecting to have a time and grow closer to God, a precious time with God. If we're expecting that, if we come and we do what we can, if we set up for meeting with God, God will meet with us. And we will experience worship if we'll do what he's asked us to do. It's like this. Abraham was going up. It's like trying to give someone a gift. And you've got the wrapping paper and the tape and the bow. But you got nothing to wrap. But you have everything else ready. You've got the tape there. You've got the wrapping paper. You've got the bow. And I'm gonna give him something. I don't know what. But I'm gonna prepare for giving a gift. This is what Abraham was doing. He brought the wood. He brought the fire. He brought the knife. He did everything that he could to prepare to do that sacrifice. And he said, when Isaac said, "Where's the lamb?" He said, "God will provide himself a lamb." He was prepared to do sacrifice, but he didn't know where that sacrifice was coming from. If I could say this, he was preparing to worship God, but he didn't know how to really meet with God the way he needed to that day. God met with Abraham as he came prepared, and he did things in order that God had asked him to do. We expect to see God at work in our lives, and we order our lives in such a way that he's told us to, and God begins to direct us more and more specifically as we do what we can in following the scriptures.
That's good.
And so we see this principle all through the scripture in Hebrews 11. Let's go over there and just look at that. Hebrews chapter 11. And the first verse there says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We need to hope to meet with God, to worship God. I was made to worship him. And worship takes place in the spirit of a man. Paul said, he said, God's not worshipped with men's hands. I forget where he was, but he was talking to some lost people that had, was it in Corinth? Is that where it was? Or I can't remember actually. I should know that passage. But he said, God is not worshipped with hands, but God's worshipped in the spirit. Jesus told that to the woman in Samaria. He said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
And so we must worship God in spirit. It's not sufficient to sing well with our voice. It's not sufficient to put tithes or offerings into the collection. That's not true worship. It must come from the spirit. Amen. The Bible even says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. Where we would think, well, here's a man who's responsible. He's plowing his fields. He's a hard worker. Boy, that's honorable. He's pleasing God by his hard work. But if he's wicked in his heart, the work that he's doing is not pleasing to God.
Right.
And it stinks before God. God is not pleased. I was amazed how God God gave this message. I guess I'm re-preaching what Pastor Hain preached this morning, but he preached on this out of Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God delights in the way of the man whose way is ordered by him. And we see there that the good man, his way is ordered by the Lord. If we're going to worship God, our way must be ordered by him. Hebrews 11 tells us about faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We'll go to church expecting the touch of God, though it's just common people here. Just some old pews, old stained glass windows, just a building here in a little country town. Just common people here. But we come to church saying, "I believe this is where God wants me to be." And we can meet with God here as we do what he's given us to do. We can take a step of faith to please God, to worship God, common things. We can begin the day in prayer. Kneel down beside the bed and begin the day in prayer. We don't know what the day holds. It's just a common bed, just a little house. But we kneel down, we pray, we ask God to direct us through the day. And God will meet with us if we'll seek his heart. We take gospel tracts with us. Again, Pastor Hayden mentioned this morning. Take gospel tracts with us. Keep them in our pockets. We go out, get an opportunity, give out gospel tracts. And we do that. Do you know God does amazing things through simple gospel tracts? I've heard testimonies of many people who were saved, that the lives were turned around because they got a hold of one gospel tract at the right time, because someone was faithful, kept hoping that maybe God will use this gospel tract. Maybe. Just maybe God will use this one. And they continued by faith to just do these simple things. We can have Bible time with our family. I usually pull out the footrest and make that my pulpit, set my Bible out there, and start preaching on that little footrest to my family. Some nights I just give a quick Bible lesson. Some nights I'm long-winded, and they're like, "Are we going to be able to go to bed tonight or not?" Right? But why do we do that? Why do I set my Bible down on the footrest and sit there with my family and say, "Hey, let's open the Word of God again"? A lot of times we're already tired. We want to go to bed. Just hoping God will meet with us. And you know, sometimes He has, right? If we'll be faithful to do these little things, faithful to put our lives in order and say, you know what, I want to teach my children the Scriptures. Even if I don't really have all the answers for them, even if I don't even really know where to start, we're going to do something. We're just going to open the Bible and just start to study this out. Do some of these things.
Amen.
If a man ever is called to pastor a church and he's a man of God, it is an overwhelming responsibility to be called to pastor a church or to preach the Word of God. It is an overwhelming responsibility. But we go by faith, trusting that God will do what only He can.
Yeah.
Pastor Hank could give many testimonies, I'm sure, of how God through the years, and he has, how God through the years has done marvelous things. Things that you never saw coming, I'm sure.
Right.
But he stepped out by faith and did what God had asked him to do and put his life in order following the leadership of God. So we see this principle. I'm going to go ahead and read in Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed." Notice how one of the first things it says about Abraham, and he's the father of us all, the father of faith, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, he's an example of faith to us all. He was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went.
Mm-hmm.
God said, "You go," and he went. His life was in order. Now, some people would have looked at Abraham and said, "Really, Abraham? You're going to step out and just go somewhere you don't even know where you're going? That's not orderly." But it was orderly because he followed the leadership of God in his life. He followed what God had told him to do. We have the counsel of God written in the Word of God. If God speaks to us from His Word, we need to obey the counsels of God's Word and set our lives in order according to His truth. If the world thinks that we're not being responsible or whatever they may think, really, it doesn't matter. If we are putting God first, that is what matters. We must put Him first. We must set our lives in order based on what is true from His Word. Abraham went out. He didn't know where he was going. Verse 9, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." That city had true foundations. It was built by God. God knew what he was doing when he called Abraham. Abraham looked for that city. He looked for that place that had foundations. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." God's prepared for us a city. Jesus said that he went to prepare us a place. But God has a place for us in this world, a place in his work, as we keep our eyes on him. Each of these listed here, Abraham and Sarah specifically, they sought God's work. They had faith that God was going to do what he had promised to do, and he followed through and did great things in their lives. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He received the promises. He knew what God was doing. He didn't understand what God was doing in the calling him to sacrifice his son, but he knew that his God would be faithful. He knew that his God would fulfill the promises that he'd given him concerning his son. And he did what God had asked him to do. He knew the voice of God, and he followed it. He was in order. It says he offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He received Isaac from the dead. He was dead. He was as good as dead. But God gave him a son, and he was willing to lay him back down and sacrifice him, give him back to God. And God had a purpose and a plan in what he was doing. I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles and look at this thought of order and worship. 1 Chronicles. I do know that the Lord put this message on my heart for us this afternoon. I'm certain of that. I don't have an outline. I hope this is a blessing to you. I hope it's a help to you. 1 Chronicles 13. David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, and that they gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelt between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with stringed and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So we see that David had a good desire. He wanted to bring the ark of God back. And so he inquired. It said he consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. It says that they reached out to the brethren everywhere. In verse 4, it says that the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. It was a popular thing to do. It seemed like a good thing to do. But they put the ark of God on a new cart. And they didn't do it in the proper order. And where did they get the idea of putting it on a cart? From the Philistines. The Philistines had put it on a cart. And they put it on a cart. It's the same thing that happens today with these worship services that aren't worship at all. Amen. If we use rock and roll music and try to put the scriptures to the world's music, it doesn't please God. We say, but it's popular. That's what everybody wants to do. I mean, we can have more people come to church if we use the world's music and if we just put God's words to the world's music. It's not the right order. It doesn't please God. It doesn't worship Him. Amen. And if we're to worship God, we have to do it in the right order. We have to do things properly. In verse chapter 14, Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David in timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him an house. And David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. And David took more wives at Jerusalem, and David begat more sons and daughters. Now these are the names of his children which he had in Jerusalem: Shammua, and Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon, Ibhar, and Elishua, Elpalet, and Noga, Nephig, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Bealiada, and Eliphalet. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters." Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Notice this, they did the same thing. The Philistines spread themselves in the valley again. David inquired of God. God said, "Go ahead and fight with them." He did, and God brought a great victory that day. But then this happens again. The Philistines get their forces back together, and they spread themselves in the valley again. Notice this in verse 14. Therefore, David inquired again of God and said unto him, "And God said unto him, go not up after them. Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." That's not the same thing that God said the first time. Mm-hmm. We sometimes oversimplify things, and it's because we're not really walking with God. Sometimes we'll say, "Well, that's what God told me to do yesterday." Well, that might not be what he wants you to do today.
Amen.
We don't do the same thing every day. What God had me do years ago may not be what God has for me today. And the only way I'm going to know how to have my life in order is by praying and asking God what he wants me to do.
Good.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice.
Good.
They follow me."
Good.
We need to follow the voice of God. And that means being sensitive to him. So when David inquired again of God, God didn't say, "Yeah, go ahead and fight again." He didn't say that. He said, "Go not up after them. Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." Now, I'm not exactly sure what kind of mulberry trees there are in the Middle East there, but the mulberry trees around here, they have lots of berries, mm-hmm. and they fall easily.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a time for the fruits or not, but I could picture them under the mulberry trees and all those berries, they kind of make a big mess. I remember one day the kids were out there picking them. I came home and their fingers were all purple.
Yeah.
Right? Because they had been eating those mulberries.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of mess was underneath the mulberry trees. But for whatever reason, God told them to go over by those mulberry trees. Sit by the mulberry trees. What is this about? And it says in verse 15, "And it shall be when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even unto Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. David did what God had told him to do. He had his life in order, and he heard the sound of going, and it said when that sound of going was in the top of the mulberry trees, just the rustling of leaves there, just a very gentle sound, he said, that's when the Lord's going out in front of you. He's going before you. He's going out there to fight that battle before you ever get there. Wait to listen. Wait till that time. Get your life in order, David. Wow. Chapter 15. "And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it." It says he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. It pitched for it a tent. "And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God out of the but the Levites, for them hath the Lord God or for them that the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. See what David said? He said, none ought to carry the ark of God except for the Levites. It should be the Levites' job.
Right.
That's what they were appointed to do. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. Notice he prepared. Notice he was doing things in order. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief and of his brethren, and 120 of the sons of Merari, Isaiah the chief and of his brethren, 220 of the sons of Gershom, Joel the chief and of his brethren, and 130 of the sons of Elizaphan, Shemaiah the chief and his brethren, 200 of the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief and his brethren, 80 of the sons of Uzziel, Aminadab the chief and his brethren, and 112. David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Isaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Notice he said, you need to sanctify yourselves. He went to the proper authorities and he told them, you need to sanctify yourselves. And the reason we've had, there was this breach upon us is because we didn't do it after the right order. So he told the priests that. And in verse 14, it says that's what the priests did. They sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. In other words, they sought the Lord. They did what they were supposed to do. They followed the steps of sanctification and they sought to honor the Lord with sanctifying themselves. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. Here's joy. Joy. That's different than all that music the first time.
Yeah.
We see joy. And thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you walk with God, there's joy. There's rejoicing of the Spirit. Worship of the Spirit. The voice with joy. Verse 17, so the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and the brethren Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren Ethan, the son of Kushiah, and with them their brethren in the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaaziel, and Shemeramoth, and Jehiel, and Ani, Eliab, and Benaiah, and Maaseiah, and Mattathiah, and Eliphala, and Mechaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, the porters. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. And Zechariah, and Aziel, and Shemeramoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, and Eliab, and Maaseiah, and Benaiah, with psalteries of Elamoth, and Mattathiah, and Eliphala, and Mechaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, and Azaziah with harps on the Sheminith to excel. And Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. And Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasai and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eleazar the priest did blow with the trumpets before the ark of God. And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites. When God helped the Levites. You can't worship God unless God stirs up your heart to worship him. God helped the Levites to worship. God helped them to have joy in what they were doing. And he helped them to do what he had told them to do. He helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark of the, and the singers and the and Chenaniah, the master of song with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. When they went from nation to nation and from kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is greatly to be praised. We need to praise him when times are difficult. Praise him when he gives us apparent blessings. We must praise God and have a spirit of praise, a spirit of worship. It honors him. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. On Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday throughout the week, to praise God in our work. To praise God in our words and our actions. To praise him in the spirit. He's greatly to be praised, it says. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If you're going to worship the Lord, it must be in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
That happens by seeking his face, continually seeking his face. How could David sing these songs and praise the way that he did? Because he knew God. He had sought him after the due order. He brought back that ark of God, and he got to see God in his spirit and to worship him in his spirit. That's what we're meant to do. You're not going to find any greater joy in this world than to worship God, to know him, to see him and his glory. And it's going to happen when we seek him after the due order. Keep studying the scriptures. Expect to meet with God. It's very easy to go to church habitually without seeking to meet with God. We must meet with God if we're going to have power as his people. The joy of the Lord is your strength, church. And we must have the joy. And that comes from a spirit of worship. It comes from walking with God and knowing him, seeing his goodness, seeing it. God does great things. He still is doing great things. We don't see it because we don't seek Him. We miss a lot of it. We must seek God and worship Him. Seek Him after the due order. Do what you can. Here, the whole purpose. Why are we going to church? Why are we soul winning? You know what it is? To expand heaven. No, that's not why. Because I feel so bad for those people. Well, yeah, but that's not why. Mm-hmm. So worship God.
Yes.
That's all. To worship God because He's worthy. Share the gospel. Go to church. Sing the praises. To worship Him.
Amen.
To honor Him. And do it in the due order. That's the only way that we're ever going to meet with God is we'll seek Him in the Word of God. I know this is an overly simple message. I hope that it's a blessing and a help to you. Amen. This afternoon, I know this is what God gave for us. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer and we'll wrap it up here. Father, I do thank You for Your goodness to us. I thank You for Your love to us. I thank You for the privilege it is to be able to know You, to be known by You. We thank You, Lord, for how You meet with Your people. I thank You for how You've met with Your people here, how I've been able to hear the testimonies of Your people and how God's worked in their lives. Lord, help us not to be distracted by the things around us, but Lord, to do all that we do, whatever our hand finds to do, do it heartily as to You. Lord, give us a heart to please You, to seek Your heart, and Father, to understand Your word and to set our lives in order and to worship You truly, Lord, as a church and as individuals. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Clint.
Thank you.